Beyond the Sermon, episode 19. Woo! All right, we are live, and it is Beyond the Sermon, and we are excited to come back to you after a three-month hiatus.
That's right. Well, we are well-rested.
We are well-rested. That's it.
Lots of content.
So after all of the requests and the threatened boycotts and all that, we took your words to heart, all of our podcast listeners, the many thousands of you out there in podcast land.
And our Canadian listeners.
And right, our Canadian.
Right. The faithful Canadians.
That's it.
Canucks.
We are glad that you're with us. I am Michael Kennedy, lead pastor at North River Church, sitting here across the table from Scotty the Zookeeper Curlin.
That's right, man.
Scotty's got
Nobody does khaki and green like me.
There we go, bud. You're looking good today. And also Adam Reed, family pastor extraordinaire.
Woo!
Running machine.
You still running?
Don't want to talk about that right now.
Nah, talking about the running. I'm with you.
We've been busy moving.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You've been a little busy this past month. Yeah,
between closing on a house, going to camp with students, doing VBS, and
getting out of a rental house.
Yeah.
We've not had much.
We've had a little bit on the calendar.
Yeah, we've not had much of a summer so far. As Wendy put it earlier today, she is chilling at the pool, probably not anymore since it's pouring rain right now. that'll kind of be what they're doing over the next month as actually relaxing after a busy month.
Busy June, yeah, absolutely. So we are in the bunker.
The bunker.
At North River Church. You may be able to hear the rain on the bunker ceiling.
Podcast heaven.
Podcast heaven. We're glad to be back. We have missed you, and we know absolutely you have missed us.
That's right. No doubt.
So we have some great content to provide for you today.
Someone right now is thinking, they do a podcast?
We've had new people into the church, and they're going to be wondering where podcast episodes 1 through 18 went.
That's right, that's right.
And you can certainly log online to look at that on the media page.
Yeah.
It'll be right. There, won't it?
That's right.
Or you can listen to it on
Podbean
iTunes.
Or the App Store.
And I'll say, like, iTunes. Episodes like 1 and 2 were probably our highlight, and we just continue to go down from there. So,
yeah. Did you join in episode 3?
I was after episode 3. Y'all made fun of me for a few weeks before.
We peaked at the beginning. And
y'all peaked early on.
That was it. Yeah. Did I do the first one by myself?
No, I'm just kidding. Unfortunately,
you're here.
I was with you.
Yeah,
and
I guess
shaking,
true.
Scared in my boots, man.
That's it.
I was not excited about being the only other person in the podcast.
That's awesome. That's
Adam good. Rescued me.
He did. So we are going to dive in on this July 3rd, which tomorrow is Independence Day.
Yeah. Uncle Sam had an awesome announcement video yesterday.
He did. If you missed that, you can check it out on Facebook.
Fun with flags.
Fun with flags.
You and Sheldon.
So one of the things that I know you guys probably saw on your Facebook or Twitter feed is the caution of the service yesterday for churches.
Right.
That we worship Jesus and we're thankful to live in the United States of America.
That's right.
Not vice versa.
The opposite.
Right? We worship the United States of America and we're thankful for Jesus.
Yeah.
So I would say that we focused pretty heavily on Jesus and the service yesterday.
That's right.
I believe.
Other than a visit from Uncle Sam, I think.
That's true. In the announcement video, we did have Uncle Adam Sam come see us.
That's right.
And it was
not
good.
Uncle Sam Adams. It was a different one.
Yes. Yes.
Different
yes.
Uncle.
That's true. Very true. So okay. we had a good. That was good, Scotty.
Thanks, man.
Chuck that one up for you. That's good.
He's out now.
That's yeah, good. Yeah. See you guys.
Mic drop. So we did. We had a great worship service yesterday. We are so thankful, though, to live in the United States of America, a free nation where we can worship the Lord as we see fit and gather together, which is an amazing privilege we have. And so we are thankful for the country in which we live and the sacrifices that were made for us to have the freedoms that we have. So,
absolutely.
And we're excited about fireworks.
Yeah.
That
blowing
I don't know about
up.
In y'all's neighborhood, but they have been going on for the last couple of days in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hence the dog peeing on the carpet, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know why, but people, for some reason, decide to shoot fireworks before the 4th of July.
A week of July 4th celebration.
Man, I'm telling you. So, Lil Abe is not happy with the fireworks, so...
With a name like Abe, I mean, he's got to be a patriot.
You would think he would be, right?
Yeah, yep. Keeping it honest, though.
That is. Yes, that's good. So we talked yesterday. We began a series through the book of Jonah, and so we dove right into chapter 1. We titled this series, Jonah, Urgent Mission, Faithful God. And we looked yesterday at the call that God put on Jonah's life to... call out the Ninevites, who we mentioned yesterday. It was a city that was in the Assyrian Empire, and God had sent Jonah, wanted him to go and to preach a message of repentance, calling them to repent of their sin, and if they did not, to let them know that God's judgment was going to be exercised against them. So that was the call on Jonah's life that God had given him. We see that in the first couple of verses of Jonah chapter 1. And then we see Jonah's response beginning in verse 3 of chapter 1. And Jonah decides that he's not interested in heading to Nineveh. And he is going in the exact opposite direction. So God had said, arise, go to Nineveh, call out. Jonah did arise, but he went to Joppa, which is not in the direction of Nineveh, and it says that he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. So we talked about yesterday that that's a dangerous proposition to attempt to flee from the presence of the Lord when we consider that God's omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere all the time. And so we would do ourselves a favor not to try to flee from the presence of the Lord like Jonah did. And we encounter very quickly that God knew exactly where Jonah was in the ship that he was riding on, and that God sent an incredible storm to rock the boat. And Jonah's sleeping initially. We're singing Rock the Boat. Is that what we're singing?
We were both ready to break out.
Right? I'm ready,
don't
man.
Don't tip the boat over.
That's good. So God sends a great storm, and I love it. A mighty tempest.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
It is a good word.
Tempest.
Gotta work that into a song.
Could you do that?
We gotta work that into a song, man.
I was thinking a mighty fortress is our God, but a mighty tempest.
Mighty tempest.
Yeah, we could do that. So, but a great tempest, which for those of you who don't speak tempest language, that's a storm. So us down in Florida, we can understand that, right? So hurricane. So we can be prepared for those when they come. Is it hurricane season?
It is.
I think it's always hurricane season.
From, yeah.
June 1st to November 1st, I think.
Okay, so we've had one named storm.
Have we?
Ish, okay. I think, one.
That sounds right.
Maybe.
I think so.
Okay. Sure. Tells you how much we pay attention to the weather.
Seriously.
Right? So, but anyway, there was a great tempest. Jonah is down in the boat sleeping. Rock on, Jonah, right?
Right.
So he's sleeping like a baby. The captain wakes him up and says, don't know which God you're praying to, but pray to somebody and try to get this thing to stop. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it comes to find out that Jonah has been running from the Lord. The guys that he's with on the boat find that out. And Jonah says, the only way that this is going to stop is if you throw me overboard. They didn't want to do it initially, but they finally relented and threw Jonah overboard. And in the process of that, the Bible says that those who were throwing Jonah overboard, immediately the sea stopped, and they began to call out and worship the one true God. Mm-hmm. And Jonah's swimming with the fishies, and God, it says in verse 17, appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So that's the story. And we talked yesterday in terms of application about God's mission being an urgent mission for us to accomplish in the same way that Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and to share with them that their sins were an offense against God and God was going to bring judgment if they didn't repent, that our calling as believers is to take the gospel to the nations. Jesus left us with what we call the Great Commission, and that is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that the Lord had commanded. And so we have an urgent mission, much in the same way that Jonah had an urgent mission, and it's one that we should take seriously, one that should serve as the foundation for our entire lives, certainly the foundation for our church and what God's called us to do. I mentioned yesterday, and I feel like this will be a good point for us to discuss just a little bit. Had a couple of questions come in on the back end of the message because of a statement I made that there will be billions of people that that will spend eternity in hell separated from God. And so question about that came, and so the Pew Research Group did a study back in 2015. The population of the world at this point in time is about 7.3 billion people. And the estimates based on their research is that about 2.3 billion of those inhabitants of the world are Christians, which their definition of Christian is a bit loose in that sense, but certainly we'll say, okay, that's possible that there's 2.3 billion Christians, meaning those who have professed faith in Jesus for salvation, which if my math's right, guys may need to help me on that. That means that, Scotty, no? No help?
Yeah.
That leaves how many people in the mix?
I see five. I see five. I see five.
Five people or 5 billion?
5 billion.
There you go. Billion. So so that would be that 5 billion people on the planet at this point in time are not Christians. And when we say Christian, we're saying that have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, at least 5 billion people. And so I made the comment yesterday that should, for us who are believers and who have been given the Great Commission to make disciples, one, that should break our hearts that there are 5 billion people who, if they never respond to the gospel, will spend eternity separated from God in hell. And so it should create within us a sense of urgency to carry the mission not only around the world, but also in our neighborhoods and in our community in which we live. And so wanted to maybe put a little bit of background to the statement that I made yesterday so that if there are any questions about that, which we had a couple come in, that we could hopefully explain that a little bit. Now, always that brings the question up, what about the guy in, for some reason, it's always Ethiopia in the jungles, right?
Right, right.
Who's never heard of Jesus, and what happens to that guy? If God is loving and God wants people to be saved, which the Bible says that he does, what if that guy has never heard the gospel, never had an opportunity to respond to it? One, let's back up and just say that that should even more so create a sense of urgency within the church to want to get the gospel to those people. Certainly, we believe as a church in missions. We support through a cooperative program as a Southern Baptist church, the International Mission Board, which sends missionaries all over the world, many of them into places that the gospel has not gone before. And so we say amen and support them, all the while willing to go as well if God calls us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. But about that guy that's there, the truth is that the Bible in Romans chapter 1 says that for every single person, creation is enough to show someone that there is a God, and for them to be able to see and recognize that there is a God, and they have a choice and a response that they make as a result of that realization that there is a God who's created. And so we call that general revelation, meaning that creation is God's general revelation. Everyone has the opportunity to see creation and to recognize that there must be a creator that's out there. And we know, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1, that that's enough to for someone, if they choose not to seek after God, the God who is creator, then that person stands condemned, the Bible says, on the basis of their lack of belief in God. So when we talk about the gospel, the message of who Jesus is and what he's done, we're talking about what the Bible calls a special revelation, meaning more than just general revelation, but the actual gospel message being proclaimed, which, again, hopefully that's something that that we're doing week in and week out as a church family, not only in the main service, but with our kids as well in the back. And it's something that God's called us to do day in and day out as we live as missionaries in the places that he's called us to live. So when we think about that, we realize that that there are people who may never hear the name of Jesus, but who have chosen to reject that there's a creator. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1, choose to worship creation instead of the creator, and they stand condemned as a result of that. Also, I think it's important for us to recognize too, and I've had this conversation with people before in asking that question, that what happens if there is someone, let's say in the jungles of Ecuador, who looks and recognizes and says there must be a creator out there and seeks after that creator? How does God respond in that situation? And I think every indication we have in Scripture is that the gospel is going to get to that person, the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, whether that's through a missionary, whether that's through any other means that that God sees fit. We see pictures of that in the Scriptures. We see that with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and where he's reading the Scriptures and trying to understand, and the scroll of Isaiah, who is this man that that they're talking about here? And God sends Philip into the desert, and he's able to share the gospel with this Ethiopian eunuch who receives Jesus as his Savior, and Philip baptizes him and then takes off, and God carries him on. So I think we have to affirm that the tension that exists in that reality, that there are people that will spend eternity separated from God in hell. And yet God is still a loving God who is ready to respond to those who seek him out by faith. And you guys have any thoughts on that? Adam, you want to chime in?
No, I just agree, you know, with what you were sharing. As you were speaking, you started to allude to Romans 1, I was scrolling there and just reading over those verses once again of just that idea of general revelation. And, you know, ultimately, though, it should break our hearts, as you said, you know, for us to realize that we've been given a gift of salvation through Jesus. And so then that should then give us that desire to do whatever it takes to reach our neighbors, to reach our school, people that we're in school with, or people that we work with, but also then, because then looking for opportunities to be able to go and either give money or go to other places in the world. Yeah. We're not all going to have opportunities to reach every person in the world, but we can resource people. We can pray for that, and we just need to be faithful to the part of the world, especially, that God has given to us. And just because we can't get to the jungles of Ecuador to reach people there doesn't mean that we can't walk across the street and talk to our neighbor who doesn't know Christ as well.
Yeah.
And so we need to be faithful to just as much to that person as we do to somebody in another country who needs to hear the gospel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's essential for us to sense the urgency of the mission that God's given to us as his followers. And we see that God's heart is for the nations. We're confident here in seeing God called Jonah to this pagan place in Nineveh to preach a message of repentance to them and call them to repent of their sin. And that's the way God operates. And so it's essential for us to recognize that urgent mission, and to look at what can we do, what has God called us to do, or who are the people he's placed in our path to carry out the mission that he's called us to carry out. So so we said God's mission is urgent, and then the next point that we mentioned is that God's mission involves using broken people. I love the book of Jonah simply because Jonah says no to God initially, right?
Right.
And typically, you know, you may look and think that the Bible is kind of a sanitized version of everybody saying yes and obeying God, and it's really not. You see God constantly using broken people to accomplish his plans and his purposes. And I think for all of us, that should give us hope and a recognition that none of us are too broken for God to use us if we're willing to put our yes on the table. And ultimately, up until this point in the story, and we'll see some change in Jonah's heart next week, but up until this point in the story, Jonah's no has been on the table.
Right.
And we see even in the midst of that, God could have taken him out, and God could have let him drown in the ocean. God, instead of appointing a fish to swallow him, could have appointed a shark to eat him. Any number of things could have happened, but God hadn't given up on Jonah. God still desires to use Jonah. I think it's helpful for us to remember that God desires to use us, wants to use us, invites us to be a part of the mission that he's called us to accomplish. And it doesn't take a Bible scholar. It doesn't take a pastor. It doesn't take a missionary. It takes someone who's willing to share the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. And that person can be used in a powerful way for God to reach people that need to hear who Jesus is and what he's done. So the thing that I love is verse 17, that the Lord, it says, appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Ultimately, our confidence is in the fact that God will accomplish his mission. This mission of making disciples of all nations, which Jesus gave us the responsibility to carry out as his followers, as his church. When we fast forward to the book of Revelation and we look at the end of the story, we realize that the Bible says that in heaven there'll be people from every tribe and nation and tongue and language that'll be around the throne worshiping God. Meaning that every nation is going to be represented, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people group is going to be represented in heaven, meaning that these people either were looking forward to the Messiah coming, as we see the Old Testament saints in Hebrews chapter 11, or they were looking, like we do, back on the cross and what Jesus accomplished for us. And we affirm, as the scripture affirms, that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way for someone to be saved except through Jesus. And so the confidence that we have is that there will be people that look like us and talk like us. I said that yesterday. And there'll be people that don't look like us and don't talk like us that'll be in heaven. And that's a beautiful picture of God being able to accomplish his mission through whatever means he uses. Here we see him call Jonah. Jonah runs away, trying to flee the presence of the Lord. And God says, that's fine. We'll put you on a one-way ticket in the belly of a fish, and we'll get you where we need to go so we can accomplish the mission that I want to accomplish through you. So certainly the fact that Jonah's in the belly of a fish for 3 days, I was reading something as I was working through the text this past week, where someone said, now surely Christians don't believe that Jonah was actually swallowed by a fish and that he lived in the fish. Surely that's just kind of an allegory. It's not really something that happened. And I'm willing to sit here and affirm that I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, because that's what the Bible says happened.
Right.
And that God preserved him and the fish's stomach somehow, and that he spit him up, as we'll see in this week in the text. Jonah survives that and goes on to do what God had called him to do. So I think that the caution that I would issue to someone who questions the validity of that, usually that's in a line of questioning whether or not the sun stood still in the Old Testament, whether or not the flood was really a worldwide flood, whether or not a number of the miraculous events that that happened in the Old Testament actually happened. And I would simply push forward to the question of, do we believe that the account of Jesus' birth is true, that he was born of a virgin? And if we can affirm that, which the Bible teaches, then shouldn't have any issue affirming any of the other miraculous things that that God's done throughout history. So I'm excited to get a chance to unpack Jonah's response after being spit out by the fish. And we'll get to encounter that this week, Jonah chapter 2. So, guys, any thoughts, anything that you wanted to close us out with today?
Come on. Reed's looking at me. No, you know, I usually try to work in a song lyric, you know. you know, I was thinking about a song that we've sung a good bit over the last 9 months or so.
Row, row, row your boat?
Yeah, exactly.
I was hoping you were going to pull that one out.
You know, the Rend Collective song, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Yeah.
There's a line in there that I've struggled with some in the past, and it's the line, you know, we are your church, we are the hope on earth. That's a pretty big responsibility there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good with Jesus being the hope of the world, but it's hard to say that I, as a part of the church, am the hope on earth. But I think it ties in with your message from yesterday, you know, that God has given us this incredible responsibility, and we should live urgently, and we should be reminded that he can use anyone, as he has throughout the whole, you know, all of history. He's used, as you said, broken people. And so there's a hope there that God can even use me, you know,
yeah.
that even I can be a part of the hope on the earth. For the lost.
Yeah,
so it's absolutely exciting. It's also a little bit scary. It's a big task.
Yeah.
But that's why we're not alone. You know, we're part of the church across the world that can gather together and be the light and make a difference.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. No, that's good. With it being, I figured I would mention this before we sign off today. With it being July now the 3rd, we have finished up half the year. By the end of June, right? So we're launching into the second half of the year.
Right.
And so I know we did an episode on like New Year's resolutions and things, maybe goals that we wanted to accomplish us as a individually and some of those things. But I also was thinking about those that may be listening that had kind of set themselves up for some goals, whether that's a Bible reading plan through the year or they wanted to do something in terms of their spiritual walk to grow and set some disciplines and things like that, that you can hit restart at this point in the year and pick back up where maybe you had done well for a couple of weeks or something at the beginning of the year. I want to encourage you and encourage myself that we can pick up and keep pressing on towards those goals. Mm-hmm. So
Double time.
We just got to work twice as hard, right?
That's right.
There it is. So that means you have to run twice as many miles now,
Adam.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm with
you. Oh, man.
So anyway, we will be back in Jonah chapter 2 next week. It'll be a lot of fun, and we'll get to encounter once again God's Word, and we'll get to worship through singing, worship through giving, worship through the Word, and be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah.
We will see you Sunday, and if you're not here, we're going to talk bad about you.
Oh.
There we go. Later.